Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. And we are back in the Billy Meyer case. No surprise there. I hope you've enjoyed some of the guests that we've had on the show lately. It's been interesting getting some different perspectives on things. I'm going to start the show out in the Might of Thoughts book and dive in with both feet, and then I'll give background information and tie it all together in case someone's out there listening to the archive in the future and has never heard of anything that I'm talking about. And I think even sometimes it's good for all of us to hear how these all things are interconnected. And I had a little reminder as I was trying to call into the show and running into more blog talk issues how important it is to stay neutral all the time and to remember these. That's why I think I've spent so much time on the book, The Might of Thoughts, and I've spent so much time talking about this on the show because I really think the people of the earth are ill in their consciousness and we're all trying to struggle and improve and evolve our consciousness. We actually have three natures. We have an external nature, an internal nature, and the innermost spiritual nature. Now, this is something I kind of missed before. I've talked about the innermost creational nature. Well, that's the same as the innermost spiritual nature, and that's the nature of your spirit form. But just as the innermost nature of the spirit form and the inner nature of the consciousness of the personality exists, there is also an external nature. Our external nature deals with our consciousness during this lifetime, our material consciousness, which would be our personality, our subconscious, our unconscious, and our conscious. And the external nature is what we express outwardly in the environment. Now, this external nature does not have to be in harmony with the inner nature. And sometimes it will be, maybe, and sometimes it won't be. And let me read what Billy says here. He says that the human being is an extremely gifted actor. Consequently, it is an easy thing for him or her to present himself, herself, in a deceptive, kind, and wise, differently on the outside to the way he or she is in the inner consciousness-based nature. That is to say, the personal nature. So, and I don't think it's that we always know that we are different. We don't realize many times that we're different. A lot of us probably are not even aware of our innermost creational nature that comes from the spirit form. It impulses our material consciousness. It gives us these signals to let us know if our thinking is right or wrong. And if you pay attention, you can recognize that. And usually the signal from the inner nature, the signal from the spirit form, this is a little bit of speculation on my part, causes a thought to be produced in our consciousness. And that thought can be right or it can be wrong depending on how we responded to that signal from the spirit form. And if it was correct, if it was healthy, if it was neutral positive, we'll get a good feeling from it. But if we get a signal from the spirit form and your inner nature doesn't pay attention to it, or it conflicts with it, or it is offended by it, or whatever, you'll get a negative feeling from it. So, let me read here. It says, people will present themselves on the outside differently than they really are on the inside. And nature in this usage means the basic or inherent features of something. Nature also means the particular combination of qualities belonging to a person, animal, or a thing. And Billy says here, and there can be an utter discrepancy between how he or she is in turn in his nature and the actual innermost creational nature of the spirit form, that is to say, of the spirit. So, again, and to tie all of this together, so it's clear to those of us who have studied this and makes any sense at all to someone new, is we have in the center of our middle brain in an area called the superior colliculus, something called the spirit form. And the spirit form is your innermost creational nature. In the book, The Psyche, Billy says the average spirit form on the earth is about 4.5 million years, something like that old. So your spirit form has been reincarnating into a physical body and then dying. The body dies and the spirit form moves to the body and it takes the consciousness with it from the previous life, and we'll go over this in more detail in a little bit. But the spirit form takes the consciousness of the individual. If I died, my spirit form would leave the body, and it would take my consciousness with it, and it would go into what's called the spirit realm or the fine matter world. I've heard it described as an energy band around the planet. It's a different dimension, so to speak. And in this other realm is a storage bank that my spirit form created. And it will somehow place that consciousness in that storage bank. And then it has a normal process that the spirit form goes through, where it kind of goes through all of the previous life information, and then it distills things down into their essences. So the essence of the wisdom and the knowledge and the discernment and the logic that I produced during this lifetime are stored in their essences. And then these essences are absorbed by the spirit form, and the spirit form gets stronger, more powerful, and wiser. And that's the purpose of all these lifetimes. And you have a nature associated with that spirit form. It's your innermost creational nature, and it can be different than your internal nature, your typical internal nature. And the two can sometimes be completely at odds with each other, so to speak, because sometimes that inner nature is called the false ego. And sometimes it will try to create a tyranny over this innermost creational nature or your spirit form. It tries to complicate everything. You see, actually, your inner nature, this is really strange, is threatened. It's threatened by the spirit form. The inner nature knows that its time is short. Let's put it that way. If it responds correctly, if your inner nature responds correctly, then it becomes more and more like the spirit form. And your life gets easier and easier and easier. If it is rebelling, if your inner nature, your consciousness, your subconsciousness, your unconsciousness are not living in harmony, there is no harmony in your thinking, then you become miserable. You're You're fighting against all the circumstances in your life. And this eventually will lead to a kind of mental illness, and it can manifest in many kinds of mental illness. So the gist of the book, The Mind of Thoughts, is teaching us a whole bunch of tools and a whole bunch of techniques to maintain our neutral, positive, equalized, balanced inner harmony. And it really requires us to be observant all the time. I mean, you let your, if you become unobservant for just a little while, you can go into what's called, excuse my poor pronunciation, asartan, which is out of control of the good human nature. You'll be, you might be angry. Well, let me tell you something about anger, too, to be concerned with, because I do fall into that personally. I'll confess this right now. That anger is hard on your liver. It can cause a liver cancer. They're called hepatocytes, I believe, the liver cells. And your thinking is so powerful. My thinking is so powerful. That we can affect our body in tremendously amazing ways that science isn't even aware of yet. And we can affect the external world. There's something that goes out of our thinking. It's kind of these fluidal powers. And they go into your books. So if you have a book you read a lot, like I read The Mind of Thoughts a fair amount. And my energy, my energy of my mind, my fluidal energies are stored in this book. And people that pick this up, just holding this book, someone else could be influenced by my thinking. You will be influenced when you pick up books and put on clothes, pick up an instrument, be in a room where you've had neutral, positive, fluidal energy just flowing. And that can be a great comfort to yourself, but it could be a comfort to someone else. Now, on the flip side of that, if a person has been thinking crazy thoughts, unstable thoughts, and, for example, you put on the ring, well, all that crazy negative energy is stored in that ring, because that ring is always on that person. So don't do that sort of thing. Don't switch rings with people and things like that. You shouldn't do that. You can be negatively influenced by that sort of thing. The power of the mind is just, it's incredible. And one of the things that we need to do is learn to set these, what you could call destination points, or zeals, as they're called. Because these are, and Billy doesn't like the word goal, but these are these targets. Because if you're going to harness the power of your life, you want to have a culmination point, a destination point. So, and let me read what Billy says here. This deals with perseverance and persistence. Once perseverance and firmness, as well as persistence in the necessary imaginations and intentions and wishes and efforts, are also added, then a mixture of values and powers arises, which no longer allows any disappointment. So when you harness your thoughts, and you're neutral, positive, and you're being persistent and persevering, and you're using your imagination. Remember, the dreamers, the fantasizers, are the gift to humanity. We're really what keeps things moving forward. So you add your wishes and efforts, and you will have success. You're guaranteed success. So one of the I try to continually use this technique. Tell yourself, when you feel yourself slipping into negativeness, tell yourself, I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm cheerful. I'm relaxed, I'm enthusiastic, I'm thankful, I'm in harmony, I persist, I persevere, I endure, I am calm, I am satisfied, I have hope. So these are just all these different categories that Billy has talked about in the book, The Might of Thoughts, that put us back in the good nature. Cheerfulness is very important, because cheerfulness really keeps us moving forward. It's kind of like enthusiasm. Always focus on being cheerful. You will never be negative and cheerful at the same time. You just can't be. So, and cheerfulness dispels gloom and worry out of the way. So anyway, again, a quick summary of what I wanted to talk about at the very beginning of the show is that we actually have three natures: the external nature that the world sees, an internal nature, which is our personality associated with this lifetime, the material consciousness, and the innermost spiritual nature, which is the sum total of all of your wisdom, all your lifetimes. It comes directly from the spirit form. It's always neutral, positive. It's always in step with the universal consciousness. So I wanted to take the first 15 minutes of the show or so and talk about the external, internal, and innermost creational nature. Well, having those things in mind, we get a natural lead-in to reincarnation, the spirit form. And the best film, you can find it on YouTube, is by Michael Udibrook. It's called Reincarnation in the Spirit Form. Michael is someone from Figu Lands Group, Canada. And it's based on a book by Billy called Rebirth, Life, Dying, Death, and Sorrow. Billy's books, by the way, are bilingual, and we've been talking about the Might of Thoughts book, Mach der Gedanken, and you will see on any of Billy's books, the left page will be in German and the right page will be in English. The German is written with what's called an evolution code, which brings information out of the storage banks. There's storage banks in our around our planet, our solar system, our galaxy, and our universe. And these are not physical storage banks, but spiritual, energetic storage banks that contain information. And if your thinking is correct, I don't know how to do it. I don't think I've ever done it, at least not on purpose. Or maybe I've done it unawares. But if our thinking is right, we can tap into these storage banks. And it happens unconsciously if you read in the German. So I'm taking tiny little baby steps towards the German. So there is a superintelligence behind our universe. It's called the creation. It's not a heavenly father. It's not like the God that's described in religions. It creates human spirit forms so that that spirit form evolves independently through our human consciousness. Your spirit form, before it had its first incarnation, was totally neutral, and it had no wisdom whatsoever. Its goal, the spirit form's goal, is to collect wisdom and knowledge through countless reincarnations. We reincarnate, it goes into billions of years, in different forms and at different levels of reincarnation. And once the spirit form enters into the human body, its goal is to collect wisdom, knowledge, and love through countless reincarnation. And eventually your spirit form will evolve and merge back with creation after many, many reincarnations. And I want to just read to you from Billy's book called The Decalogue. And I'll read to you what the creation is. I talk about the creation every show. There's so much to learn there. The creation is the being and the non-being of life. It is the most immense mass of spiritual energy in the universe. It is spirit in its purest form and unmeasurable in its wisdom, knowledge, love, harmony, and truth. It is something that is pure spiritual intelligence energy. This spirit is ungraspable for many human beings. The creation prevails over all, and it stands in an unstoppable kind of evolution. It's wisdom and love. So the spirit form we have is a fragment, a tailstock of the universal consciousness. So that little bit of the universal consciousness is inside you, and it's the part of you that never dies. It never sleeps. It records everything you're doing, every impulsation, and it will tell you if your thinking is right or wrong. And the spirit form creates something called the overall consciousness block, which is a storage bank in the other world, in the realm where the spirit form goes in between physical lifetimes. And it's the place where your consciousness from the previous life is dissolved and a new one is built up. And the overall consciousness block creates and programs a new consciousness and a new personality. Overall, the consciousness, our consciousness is the personality of the consciousness, the ego. So after the spirit form is done processing what happened, the knowledge, all the knowledge from the previous life, and just to interrupt myself for a moment, spirit forms now, because of overpopulation, do not always get enough time in the spirit realm to process all the information from the previous life. This is causing our overpopulation is causing problems both in the spirit realm as well as the physical realm. And overpopulation is really our biggest problem. It's destroying the natural world. It's destroying our forests. The forests moderate the weather. If you haven't noticed, the weather is becoming more and more extreme all the time. The fires on the West Coast are incredible. The hurricanes are off the charts. The earthquakes are increasing more and more. The snows, the floods, the intense cold, the intense heat. This is because of the great imbalance on the planet. The imbalance exists in the natural world. The forests are getting smaller as the cities get larger. Our population grows up, grows larger and larger. You know, there's many things that the forest does to moderate the weather. It's so important to have these large, beautiful forests all over the planet. They create the shade in the hot summertime, which helps stop the large storms from forming. Storms which have the electric, the lightning bolts, which can start fires and do other bad things. The forests also, they absorb much of that excess water, so we don't have all the runoff. Another thing we're having today, and it's happening on the West Coast, are the the mudslides which occur because all the plants are gone. You see, everything in nature has a purpose. What does it say? One of Billy's great writings, it's called Love Letter 27, says, every tiny plant and every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love. So if you can open up your heart, not to romantic love, not to ridiculous, I don't even know what to call it. There's a kind of we're talking about a love that's very stable, very rational, based on reverence, based on respect, and it isn't based on romantic notions. And this is the kind of love that can look at the world as a whole and start to use logic. One other thing that Billy's writings talk about, I'm going off the topic of reincarnation a bit here, is that love is the highest principle in all creation. And through it, everything exists in absolute logic. So if you're living under the principle of love, which is the first creational natural law, you will act logically. If you lose your internal harmony, you will start to act illogically. And we all do it. We're all guilty of this from time to time. The goal, one of the goals of this great book, Might of Thoughts, is to recognize when you've lost your internal harmony. And to get back to the whole notion of reincarnation again, your innermost creational nature is always in internal harmony. You can be yelling your head off, throwing furniture, breaking things. You can be a complete psychopath. You've lost it totally. But your spirit form is completely calm, completely stable, completely rational. In fact, it's probably sending you impulses saying to you, hey, you shouldn't be doing this. Hey, this is very destructive. Hey, you could cause even more harm to yourself. You need to stop. You see, your spirit form is continually impulsing you. Our spirit form, it comes into the body of the child on day 21 after conception, and it brings in a new consciousness block into the body. So every physical reincarnation, we get a new personality. The spirit form is the energy. You can think of the spirit form, and I think we talked about this last show, as a guest inside your body. That's a strange way to look at it. But your body isn't permanent. It's just a temporary housing for the spirit form. The spirit form, it pays rent by energizing the whole body. So the spirit form comes in the body of a child and starts the heart to beat. It centers itself, it puts itself in a superior colliculus, and it spreads its energy throughout every fiber of the body. Now, this is interesting. I don't understand all of this yet. It sounds very profound, actually, to me. But even though the spirit form is entering your physical body, it's also in its own realm. I don't understand that all yet. See, the spirit form is unable to be influenced by the material world through sickness, disease, and it's calm even if your consciousness is in an uproar. The ego, or the I, represents the personality, which is your material consciousness. The material consciousness independently researches, perceives, consciously learns, and processes things. Your spirit form needs a material consciousness. Evolutive values are that which corresponds to truth and reality. So, the spirit form benefits from your evolutive values that you learned in this lifetime. Eventually, those evolutive values are absorbed by your spirit form. Well, that was an extremely brief overview of reincarnation. I think what I'm going to do is play just a little bit of the nature sounds again, and then I'll be right back. And I want to switch gears and talk a little bit, if well, I don't know, I think my studio has gone a little bonkers here. I don't know if I can get this out. Maybe we won't do that. Maybe I won't get a little break. We'll dive right into it, I guess. It's interesting. There's always little surprises and things that occur while you're doing the show. Anyway, I was going to talk a little bit about the New World Order, a topic that I cover from time to time. Billy's talking about it more now in his new visions. He also talks about the fact that in his new visions, he's talking about overpopulation, and he's saying that the elite want to kill people off in terms because they're afraid they cannot control a population that's big. The world is in a very, very strange state. Right now, we're seeing the demonization of Russia. And the reason that is from what I can tell from my my information sources, is that the global elite, which Billy calls the Secret Dark Order, he discusses them in the Goblet of Truth, he says that they are taking away our rights of self-determination, but they certainly are working at doing that. This New World Order is the elite. It's the people in the richest families like the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. They want a cashless society. They want a microchip population. They want a one-world government, a one-world currency. They want to take away our rights of travel, our right of self-expression, which is the freedom of speech, and they also want to take away our right to bear arms. They want to take away our rights to travel freely. You want to be able to drive your own car in the future. If they get their wish, we will not even be able to drive our own cars in the future. There will be driverless cars. They won't even have a steering wheel. If you can imagine such a thing, I can't completely imagine that myself, but that is what we could be facing. It's a very difficult time if you start thinking about that. I am going to be able to play my nature sounds just for a few minutes. We'll get back to this, and I'll continue with a little bit just for a few minutes on the New World Order, and then I'll get back to creation and a few other things a little more directly linked to the Meyer material. Although I think this concept, the New World Order, in fact, is part of the Meyer material. It's a little more subtle. Billy talks about the Deep Space Platform, how we're being programmed for violence. Maybe we'll get into that too, but let's listen to a little bit of nature sounds, take a short mental break, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Okay, we took about a minute and a half there, almost. And I thought it would be good just to get a little bit of a mental break, because this material sometimes is pretty intense. Billy has written four books that have been translated. He's written about 50-some books now. One's called The Might of Thoughts, the other one's The Psyche. The other is The Way to Live. And the one I was talking about, one of the ones, was The Goblet of Truth, and the fact that he talks about the secret dark order, this organization that wants to take away our rights of self-determination. Billy's also warned us that the people of the earth have become indolent and obtuse. And what that means is that we're lazy and we're slow to understand. And that's one of the big problems that's occurring right now. Unfortunately, people are getting slower and slower to understand, because we're kind of being hypnotized by all the media. And I'm very guilty of spending too much time with the media too, but they program our subconscious with violence. It's very anti-spirituality. It's very anti-creation. It's designed to keep you out of balance, because then you'll be completely dependent on the elite. Well, the goal of the spiritual life is to be independent in your thinking. You want to be an independent thinker, because that is how your consciousness evolves. The global elite does not want you to evolve your consciousness. That's the last thing they want you to do. In fact, they want to even get rid of gender. They don't want women or men. They want the lower class to be this kind of genderless creature. That's why the movement towards transgender. Why did they want that? Because it makes us completely controlled. They want to de-emphasize the family unit. I talk about the New World Order because we're really under assault right now. We just don't completely realize it. But Billy describes them as the New World Order, and not the New World Order, but the Secret Dark Order. And he explains that they are taking away our rights of self-determination. Don't let that happen to you. Keep evolving your consciousness. Without independent thought, you can't evolve your consciousness. So the New World Order is the enemy of independent thinking. And to have might in your thoughts, you have to have independent thinking. It's very, very, very critical. And one of the things that the New World Order does is it creates this idea of normal, okay? If you've been attracted to this show, you probably don't fit into this idea of normal. This whole idea of this man named Billy Meyer having contacts with extraterrestrial humans is not normal. But the idea of normal is something that is developed over time. It's only what we have typically experienced is what is considered normal. The alternative media also has to look at itself. The mainstream media is considered normal. And the alternative community shows like this are quote unquote not normal. See, this perception of normal, it creates a kind of prison. We all have a normal, and we tend to reject things that are outside of the normal. Believing the spiritual life that we're talking about, that's talked about in the Meyer material, is not normal. It has nothing to do with belief. The system, this New World Order, wants you to have a rigid belief system. So if you're in religion, you're following you're under the influence of the New World Order, but you don't know it. The more rigid your belief system is, the more easily you are to control, or then also the easier you are to upset, the more likely you are to get out of balance. We are under assault in many ways. The food, the air pollution, the fluoride in the water. The elites want a world government, a cashless society. They want a microchip population. And Billy's talked about this. He's also talked about what's called the DSP monitoring system, which is the deep space platform. And we've taken a step, and this is from Figu Bulletin 2, we've taken a step towards a horrifying futuristic vision of total control over every human being on Earth. This vision is very overwhelming. It includes this all-inclusive monitoring system and then the planting of a coded chip. Now, this coded chip gives them the ability to completely violate your free will. I think it takes away your free will. They can turn you off with this chip. It isn't a blessing. Whatever you do, don't allow anyone to put a chip in you. What we have right now is what's called the Project for the New American Century. And that's why they're trying to wipe out all these countries. They're trying to take away the leaders, change the leadership in Iraq and Libya and Syria and China and Afghanistan, Lebanon, Somalia, Sudan, North Korea. They're building towards this World War III. The vision of World War III goes all the way back to a guy named Albert Pike in the late 1800s. And he wrote a letter in 1871 that talked about the plan for the World War III. And even Albert Pike, way back then, talked about how the Illuminati was planning on using Islam to destroy the West. So we have a whole series of manipulated wars, the conflict in the Middle East. All of this has been planned for many, many, many years. We need to stand up and oppose this. But I digress. I wanted to just talk for a little while about the New World Order. We'll get back to some of the dangers of how we're being programmed by the media. And there's a lot of that that's going on now, which is extremely, extremely dangerous. I want to kind of finish the show out here by talking again about the creation and about some of the laws of creation. You know, the religions talk about God, and they talk about a heavenly father. The Meyer information says there is no heavenly father. The superintelligence that runs our universe, it radiates love, just like the sun radiates light and heat. But the sun is not thinking warm and loving thoughts about you. The sun radiates light and heat because of its own nature. The creation is kind of like that. It's a neutral positive entity. It creates universes as a part of its own evolution. It creates human spirit forms as a part of its own evolution. The German word for the creation is Schöpfung. The universe is the creation's internal and external body. Everything which exists in the whole universe is the manifestation of the mighty and the infinite true love of the mighty universal consciousness. The universal consciousness radiates love, but it's not personal. The universal consciousness has no personality to be personal with. I've had to really think about this a long time in order to kind of wrap my mind around it. But you can feel the radiating love of creation It's called Empfinden in the German. Empfinden. Feeling. It's a fine, sensitive feeling. The physical universe exists in what's called the material belt. Our universe is roughly elliptical in its shape. It has seven layers which counter-rotate against one another. In the fourth layer of this seven-layer universe, in the fourth layer are the galaxies, the physical universe, the solar systems, the stars, and the planets. Only in the first stage of evolution does the creation have the material belt the way it is. And the fourth belt is the material belt. The next phase of this universe's evolution, it won't even have coarse matter, which is honestly a little disturbing to me. That'll be so far into trillions of years, hundreds of trillions of years into the future. But the creation has an infinite and effective love, and the incredible splendor of nature is the visible expression of the love of creation. And the creation has laws that it operates by. First is the law of love. And love is the highest form of love that we're talking about. It's called an effective love. And there's a page out on the Future of Mankind site called the Love of Creation, called that talks about the laws and commandments of creation. Our universe, what's called the Durham universe, is not a person or a personification, which is very contrary to the belief in God, the Father by their religions. What the universe is an impersonal spiritual energy or power. It never enacted commandments that stipulate or dictate to human beings to do this or that. Now, the whole idea of the commandments will probably have to come back to you. I think it's kind of a tangent which can be confusing at some point. So I don't want to go there right now. But our universe has laws, the first of which is the law of love. Love is the highest principle in our universe. And everything, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. Every tiny plant and every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love. Love will forever be the reason for our existence. Love and wisdom go together in the creation, and its laws are love and wisdom at the same time. Without the love of creation, nothing would be able to exist. The space between the stars is empty, and yet not empty. If you look up at a beautiful starry evening, you can see the light which the stars emit, but there is an invisible light called the love of creation. And the creation radiates love. And all human beings come up against the radiating love of creation, which they may or may not be aware of. The law of love deals with effective love, stable love, permanent love. And we human beings should not have a romantic love towards one another, but a stable love. Love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it everything exists in absolute logic. Your love is logical if you have effective love. It's not illogical. It's not irrational. The law of love is the first creational natural law. The second law is the law of striving. It's the fundamental law of all evolution. Without striving, there is no life. The key to your happiness is your commitment to striving and your commitment to having internal harmony during your striving. Striving creates life. Striving means a happiness, a delectation, which is always fulfilling. If you're experiencing affliction, it's because, could be because, you have inhibited striving. If you have inhibited striving, you'll have stagnation and evolution, and inhibited evolution. You can have grief and hopelessness, irrationality. I talk about this in The Might of Thoughts, that if you have grief and hopelessness, and we all go through that when our thinking becomes negative, you go out of the neutral positive. If you're really struggling with correcting your thoughts, one of the things that can help is getting to work on something. Harmony, happiness, everything positive, and everything negative, in the end, are only the revelation of how pronounced your striving is. So your happiness and your unhappiness is directly related to your striving. But the first law is the law of love. The second law, creational natural law, is the law of striving. The third creational natural law is the law of harmony. The bipolar structure and composition of everything that exists, the positive and the negative. The law of harmony. Harmony requires you to have a neutral positive viewpoint. It requires you to be cheerful, optimistic, relaxed. It requires enthusiasm, optimism. It requires you to have hope. It requires perseverance and persistence and endurance. It requires all of those things, the law of harmony does. So you want to be neutral, positive in your thinking. Sometimes if you're over-striving, you can become fall out of harmony. So ease up on your striving during those times. Allow yourself to re-establish inner harmony. So if you can function under the law of love, the law of striving, and the law of harmony, it will lead you to the law of prosperity and abundance. Remember our four creational natural laws right now: the law of love, the law of striving, the law of harmony, the law of prosperity and abundance. Now, there are exceptions in a sense of, particularly in this law of prosperity and abundance, there's so many things wrong in our world, and do not let this be a source for falling out of the law of harmony, because we live in very difficult times with 9 billion people on the planet, with the ecosystem being destroyed, with the abusing of children, the incredible pedophilia that's going on, and the horrible abuse and neglect of animals that goes on. And this is why it's your and my responsibility to live and help live. So if you see some litter, pick up that can that someone threw out in their lack of responsibility. If you can help an animal and need help an animal, if there's a person that you can help, help that person. Do what it takes, because the answer to our problems begins with us, with you and I, doing something to help with the law of love, the law of striving, the law of harmony, and the law of prosperity and abundance. There is a creational spirit energy weaving throughout the entire universe. The universe is laced with this energy. It's an intelligence of its very own. But the wording, when I say intelligence, it's not like our intelligence. The intelligence of this energy has the effect of bringing forth life forms and matter. So there is a spirit energy that enlivens everything within the universe. The law of love, as I was talking about earlier, is the most fundamental of all the creation laws, and it also embodies what's called the ground law for us earth humans. So if you do not practice universal love, you offend against the directive of order of our universe. And it says in the OM, truly, where can one be and where can one also speak with the most exalted language, which can talk of creation and love so movingly as the works of creation themselves? So, the law of love is the first creational law. And we've talked about reincarnation today. We talked a little bit about the New World Order. And we talked about the law of striving. Let me talk a little bit about dreams here in this last moment or two. And it says in the spiritual teaching, we're able to create wondrous worlds in a dream. And these dreams can be our visions, our fantasies. It can also be something that occurs when we're sleeping. And dreams are often a succession of images and ideas and emotions. And Billy always talks about the importance of the dreamers and the fantasizers for taking us all to the next level. When we're sleeping, these dreams occur in the rapid eye movement or the REM stage of sleep. And REM is only about 20 to 25% of our total sleep, and we only get about 90 to 120 minutes of this REM sleep per night. But it's very important. It's very important for humanity to still have dreams and still have visions. In the spiritual teaching, it says that's why the terrestrial philosophers of old spoke about the human as a microcosm within a macrocosm, because everything is included in the human. Everything in the universe, in the sense of a hologram, is repeated in the human. And these are the whole idea of fractals. And this is also something that appears in trees. The pattern found in the branches of a tree very much matches the pattern in the human circulatory system. So this whole idea of the repeating pattern of nature is part of creation as well. We're totally out of time. I hope you've enjoyed the show, just touching on some new concepts here at the end of the show. Hopefully we'll be back with you tomorrow talking more about creation and the mind of thoughts. Have a great evening.